Happy Wednesday evening. Thank you for being here tonight. God bless you. Tonight, I'm going to be sharing out of one verse in Psalm 62. Now, I'm limiting myself to one verse, but I would encourage you, when you have time, to read the entirety of Psalm 62, because you see David, the psalmist, practicing what I'm going to be talking about tonight from verse 5. The psalmist said, "My soul, wait patiently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him." I'm going to repeat that one more time. My soul, wait silently for God alone. I think I said patience first time. Wait silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him. Now notice the first part of that verse. There are three things to note here. We're to wait. We're to wait silently. And we're to wait for on God alone. Now all three of those are very important in life. There's some season we go through. We're wanting to plow ahead. We're ready to roll and rumble. But we have to wait. A lot of reasons why we have to wait, and we don't always know why the waiting's on. Sometimes God's waiting on us to get things right in our own life. Sometimes God may be waiting on someone else, that changes have got to be made for the situation to be right. Sometimes there's circumstances that have got to shift and change. Sometimes it may be things like someone that's not even, doesn't live around you, hasn't moved here yet, but things won't fall into place until that person's in place. And just on and on it goes. We never know all the factors that are involved in things arriving at the timing of the Lord. Over and over, many scriptures call us to this truth. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you. When? In due time. Got the promise, if you'll humble yourself, there will be promotion. But that in due time is just like this. You ladies who have gone through pregnancy, you'll testify that 9 months seems like 9 years, right? You know, the waiting can be difficult, so wait, we're told to wait, my soul, wait, but wait silently. And I take that really to be a call for us to minimize the complaining, get rid of the complaining, the grumbling. Just like silence is difficult for a lot of people. We've noticed, we mentioned this before, sometimes in charismatic type churches like ours, silence can make people real uncomfortable. Somebody needs to be saying something. Somebody needs to be saying hallelujah, praise the Lord. Or doing, but silence can be a good thing, because I've noticed this. When I'm silent, that means I'm not talking. And when I'm not talking, I'm more apt to hear whoever is talking. And when you're needing a word from the Lord, silence can be a good thing. So we wait silently, and notice this, on God alone. Sometimes you think, if so-and-so would just do this, or if so-and-so would just do that, well, if my spouse would do this, or if my parents would do this, if I could get my child to do this, if my boss is, we think that our breakthrough is contingent on somebody else moving, but the psalmist reminds us that when we're waiting on things to line up in life to get our breakthrough, we wait on God alone. Listen, He opens a door that no man can shut, and He shuts doors that no man can open. So tonight I wanted to point that out. But now the teaching tonight's around two ideas: the power of declaring and the power of expecting. The power of declaring and expecting. And in this verse, we see, notice how he begins, "My soul." I did a whole message on this a few months ago about prophesying to your own soul. this is similar, but you see him saying, my soul, wait silently for God alone. And then he says, for my expectation is from him. He is declaring, first of all, he's declaring something over himself. Secondly, he is declaring something he is believing to be true. So, wait silently on God alone. My expectation is from him. So, the power of words. We see this again throughout the theme of Scripture very often. How important it is that not only we're praying the right things, but saying the right things. Your voice is powerful. Say this with me. My voice is powerful. The psalmist said, soul, wait silently on God alone. My expectation is for him. So he is declaring that. The words we speak out our mouth really do matter. Now, a number of years ago, because my youngest son was only 5 years of age at the time, Nathan, and he's now 25 or so. And so he was 5 years old at the time, and I was talking to him about the power of words, giving him a little lesson one day, and I was telling him, son, it's important. You know, what you speak out your mouth, it's kind of like sowing seeds in the ground. You get what you say. So it's important that you say the right things. If you go around saying, I'm always broke, I'm always broke, I'm always broke, guess what? You're going to be always broke. If you go around saying, I'm ugly, I'm ugly, I'm ugly, you're going to believe you're ugly. You know, you get what you say. And so I was giving him this little training session about, because he was saying some things, and I was trying to just teach him, you don't want to say that, and I'm telling you why you don't want to say it, but this is what you ought to say, and so forth. Well, I gave him the little talk, and then it was just a little bit later, my 8-year-old son at the time, that's Elliot, he's now 28, he came running into the room. He said, Daddy, Daddy, you've got to make Nathan stop. I said, what's he doing? He said, he's in the room and he's just saying over and over again, I don't have to go to school. 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 So he got the lesson, right? But like we are, he was wanting to kind of bend it to his will, not necessarily the Lord's. But the psalmist understands here that sometimes you just have to preach to yourself. Obviously, he may have been battled with being impatient. He wanted to see things move. Things need to happen. Let's get on with the program. And so sometimes we just have to talk to ourselves. Okay, so wait silently on God alone. I can't make this happen. You can't make this happen. I know this is, because sometimes what we're up against are things that only God can fix. Too often, we feel self-appointed to be Mr. and Mrs. Fix-It. I find that sometimes that, Mickey and I, we have our conversations, if she's sharing something that's troubling her, and it may be something out there in the ether world, you know, we talk about all kinds of stuff. And I find myself feeling like I need to fix it, you know. And she's learned to tell me, hey, I'm just sharing my heart now. You don't need to fix anything. Because we're that way. We'll just step in there and we'll make this happen. We'll get this going. We'll fix it. But folks, a lot of stuff you face in life you can't fix. Nobody else may be able to do it. And the psalmist understood that. I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait silently. And I'm going to wait on God alone. I need God to do this. And my expectation is from him. So, the first thing we see here is the power of declaring. And I would encourage you later to just read through Psalm 62 and look at the declarations that he makes in this psalm. And another thing I want to encourage you, when he says, wait silently, And he's talking to himself. Maybe he too had been saying some things that were the wrong things to say. And he realized, you know, I've been articulating the wrong thing. We have to learn to declare the promise and not the problem. I mean, aren't we kind of wired when there's a problem or when there's trouble? We want to talk about the problem. We want to talk about the trouble. And sometimes our noses get really long and we want to talk about somebody else's trouble. Now it's somebody else's problems and we haven't even been asked to fix that, hadn't even been asked to be involved in it. But our noses can get long and we just take the troubles of the world on us, and we'll talk and we'll complain and we'll spin and we'll do all this kind of stuff. We have to learn to declare the promise and not the problem. Prophesying the problem produces more problems. Prophesying the problem sows the seed for future trouble. We don't want to do that. I remember a number of years ago, I'd been invited to preach at a church in another county, and I got there early, and before it started, we had a prayer time in one of the Sunday school classrooms, and I was invited in there by the pastor. We went in there, and we had a prayer circle, had chairs around the wall, and different people started praying. And there was a couple of people that got to praying, and they prayed quite a while. And I'll just tell it like it felt. They prayed me right into a hole. Oh, Lord, you know that the devil, he's just everywhere out there and he's causing so much trouble. And Lord, it's like we're defeated on every side and the burdens is just too much for us to bear. And Lord, you know, got all this sickness going around and this is happening and the devil's doing this and the devil's doing that. And Lord, we know that people are not behaving like they ought to behave and people are out there running around and they're getting addicted and they're doing this and they're doing that. And I mean, it was worse than the 6 o'clock news. And it was like when that prayer meeting was over, I just drew aside a little bit and I had to kind of shake myself off and just take a couple, 3 minutes and just declare Scripture, the promises of Scripture. Thank you. It's greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Thank you that we have been given victory over the world even through our faith. Thank you, Father, that giants fall before us. The mountains move before us. Pray the promise, not the problem. Declare the promise and not the problem. I read a really interesting article this week, and that it's one of those articles that was some research they had done, and over a period of years with a lot of different people in studying the brain. And here's the summation of that article. They discovered that when you have some type of negative event happen to you and you talk about it, and you discuss it, and particularly if you complain about it, that it affects your memories and it has a negative impact on your health, your emotional health, your mental health, and your physical health. Now, the Bible teaches us this, but once again, the scientists are discovering what the Scripture says. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And when you speak out your mouth, your ears hear what you say and your brain processes what you've just spoken. Now, you're thinking about it before you speak it, but it's like you put your mind on a loop. The more you speak that stuff, the next thing you know, all you've got in your dryer are dirty socks. So, there's the power of declaring, my soul, wait silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him. The power of declaration. Stand on the promises, not the problems. Believe for the breakthrough, not for the breakdown. It's so important. Prophesy your future, not your failure. Prophesy your miracle, not your misery. Declare the promise, not the problem. Now, if that's true, what does that say when we sit and we soak in all this stuff that's going on with the talking heads on all the media this day in and day out? Even if people are saying the right things about wrong situations, if all you're dwelling on is the wrong and the trouble. And I'm not saying live with your head in the sand. I'm not saying that. The scripture doesn't teach that. But what it does say, live with your head above the sand. And, you know, don't put a funnel to your ear and pour it in there all day long either. So, the power of declaring. Now, let's talk about the power of expecting. The second part of that verse, he says, the reason, my soul, I want you to wait silently on God alone, because what I'm expecting is going to come from Him. My expectation is from the Lord. Good question for us to always ask when we're in a situation and we're needing breakthrough. Who are we expecting to bring the breakthrough for us? Have you ever had someone just heap a bunch of expectation on you that didn't feel right? You know, like they're expecting you to do something. It's kind of like when somebody tells you God's calling you to do this and you hadn't heard Him call you to do it, but they can tell you all about it and it seems like He's been calling them, but they just need you to go ahead and answer their call for them, that kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? But we can put it, there's a healthy place of expectation. In a marriage, we should expect one another to be faithful. There's a healthy place for expectations between parents and children. But there's a line that can be crossed where we begin to put unhealthy expectations on people. Unhealthy demands, unhealthy expectations. Sometimes we look to people to do for us what only God can do for us. I think Paul has some of this in mind in Galatians 6, where he talks about every man needs to bear his own burden. We're to bear one another's burdens. There are a place for that. But there's also that place where each man bears his own burden. There are some burdens we can help one another bear, right? But there's some burdens that we have to bear alone. So we have to discern those. Sometimes we can put false expectations on other people. Instead of putting our faith in God, we might put our faith in man. Don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. You can't expect your spouse to give you spiritually only what God can. You can't expect your pastor or your elders. There are certain things you have to receive from the Lord alone. Just like I can't be saved for you. You can't be saved for me. There's some things that we have to learn. We can't expect our government. Listen to me. We can't expect our government to do for us what only God can do. We're in trouble if we're looking for Congress to be our deliverer. Now, we need to vote for people that are going to be people whose expectations from the Lord. That's the key right there, right? Because when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. But he said, I'm going to wait for God alone because my expectation is from the Lord. I think it's really important who's president of the United States. But he, or in the future it may be a she, but whoever he or she may be, they are not my Savior. My Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want someone in there that knows Him personally. I think that's awesome. But I'm not looking for them to be my Savior. There's no man, for neither is there any other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That place is reserved for the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. He deserves the highest honor. He deserves the highest praise. We bow before Him. We do His bidding. He shed His blood for us. He's the Lord of lords. He's the King of kings. And thank God for any and every way that help comes to us and help is given us and God works through other people's. I'm not saying He does not do that. What I am saying is that our expectation has to be from the Lord. The hope of America right now has got to be from the Lord. The hope for your loved one that needs to be saved. Your expectation has to be for the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to move on them. Nobody else can save them. The power to save, the power to heal, the power to deliver comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. My expectation is from Him. And that's such good news. Because if we can live this way, it doesn't matter where you're leaving your footprint on this planet. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what kind of situation you find yourself in. He's still going to be there, and He can still deal with it, and He can still handle it. Jesus taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Simply put, that we should need to have a constant mindset that my daily provision comes from the Lord. James reminds us every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. Jesus taught, no man can receive anything except it be given him from above. Jesus taught, without me, you can do nothing. Paul wrote, I can do all things through Christ, who is my strength. So we need to live with our faith in Jesus Christ. That way, if it gets dark, we still got our eyes on the one who is light. When it looks like there's no hope, our eyes are still on the one. Expectation means there's some hope there. It means you're putting your faith in God, that His arm is never too short, that it cannot save, it cannot reach you, it cannot deliver. And as I shared a few Wednesday nights ago, a little bit about the end times, the Bible's very clear. They said there's coming a time when even it's like if the days were not shortened, even the elect could not be delivered. It's going to get tough. But those who endure to the end shall be saved. So delivered. We endure when our expectation is on the Lord, from the Lord. What you need, what I need for the crises of life are found from the Lord. And if people around us are not doing what they need to do, if our eyes are on them, our faith will falter, we'll get disillusioned, we'll get discouraged, we'll throw in the towel, the proverbial towel. But if our faith's on God, then we can plow ahead. We can keep believing. If our faith's in God, that means that we're believing that if I have faith as a grain of mustard seed, I can still speak to that mountain, which looks like an impossibility. And the Bible says it'll have to give way. It will move. So what I'm talking about is a mindset. Where's your faith? Where's your expectation from? My expectation, the psalmist said, is from the Lord. And He has a way of bringing your breakthrough and getting to you what you need, regardless of what others may believe or what they may do. It may look different than you think it's going to look. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's such a powerful story. I remember hearing Paul Kane share. Many of you may be aware of Paul Kane. He went to be with the Lord a year or so ago, a year or two ago. Had a very powerful prophetic gifting, healing ministry. As a matter of fact, he would have been probably one of the younger in the latter rain healing movement. Very young, you know, just on the tail end of the great healing movement of the 40s and 50s and early 60s that swept across the country. Paul Kane told the story that he once had a need in his ministry. When he's young in the ministry, he really had a need, and he prayed to the Lord about the need, just like the scripture said. Paul said, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Obviously, Paul, his expectation was on his God, even for other people. Paul may not have had anything to give them concerning their physical needs, but he had a confidence that my God's going to take care of you. He'll supply all your needs. Matter of fact, they gave to Paul when he received it. He said, "Then God's going to take care of you. He's going to supply all your needs." Well, Paul Kane, I hope I didn't confuse you there with the Paul of the Bible and Paul Kane. But Paul Kane was praying, and he was making his way across the country. And the Lord said, "When you get to such and such a town," told him the name of a small city, he said, "I want you to go to the post office and just ask them, is there a letter there for you?" He had not been through that city before, didn't live there, didn't know anyone there. But the Lord just told him, go to the post office and ask if somebody had sent a letter for him. Now, on the other side of the world, I think, if I remember the story correctly, it was a lady who lived in Israel, was praying. And the Lord spoke to her and said, "I want you to sow such and such a gift into the ministry of Paul Kane." Well, who is that? Where does he live? Where do I send it? And the Lord said, "I want you to send it." And she got this by the Spirit. "I want you to send it general post to the post office in this city in the United States." Told her the name of the city. And so she put the money in an envelope, sent it to a man she didn't know, to a city she'd never been in, a general delivery. When Paul goes through the city, he goes to the post office, and because God had already spoken to her ahead of time, a letter was waiting on him there. He opened it, and it was the amount of money that he had prayed and asked God for. Now, God can do stuff like that. He does stuff like that. And when he does and you experience it, then you can say, my expectations from the Lord. My expectations from the Lord. Some of you have had stuff like that happen. When you prayed and you didn't know how God was going to do it, and boom, he did it. And I've seen him do that. And it so bolsters your faith. And it makes you realize, I don't have to get into all this striving to make things happen, to make this fit that, try to manipulate this person to do this, or try to drop a hint. Or I don't have to do any of that. I can go into the throne room of my Heavenly Father and bring the situation before Him. And if my expectations from Him, He will not fail me, and He won't fail you either. He won't fail you either. I think I may have shared with you when Mickey and I, when we had stepped out on faith and we were building a new house, and it's a whole long line of stories of how I was able to get a loan to build a house and didn't even have a job, and it was just amazing. But we got right down to the end, and there was an amount of money that we had agreed we're not going to spend past this much money, and I figured up, and we were going to be $15,000 short. And she and I prayed a prayer of agreement at our breakfast table one morning and asked God, "Lord, now you told us," and He did. He gave us specific instruction about the house we were to build. He led us to the land. Somebody gave us 4 acres of land. That's another story. We built the house on it. And I said, Lord, you have done so many miracles. And if you didn't do any more, it's just amazing what you've done. But we believe this is what you told us to do. And we need $15,000. And we agreed in prayer. We asked him specifically for that. I went to a prayer meeting. At the end of the prayer meeting, or it may have been the beginning, a lady walked up to me and placed a check in my hand. She said, when I got up this morning, the Lord spoke to me and told me to write this check out and give it to you and Mickey, that y'all had need of it. I opened it up and it was for $15,000. God just does stuff like that. Here's the key, is to be walking in the will of God. Be sure you're listening to God. You know, and sometimes God's so merciful, we can create a mess because maybe we didn't make the right choice and we asked for mercy. He can spring us out of those times, at times, just because of his grace and mercy. We don't merit any of it. It's all faith. It's all grace. It's all love. It's all mercy. But I just wanted to encourage you tonight to remind you of the power of declaring God's word, saying what God says, saying what Jesus said, so you can see what Jesus did, so you can experience what the saints in the scripture experienced. When you take the words that God gave them and you've got a situation that's similar and you take that promise and you feel led by the Spirit, hey, this is for me and this is for now, you stand on that, you speak it out your mouth, you believe it, you get expectation. Expectation just means you're expecting it to happen. It's faith. That's the way this works. It works by faith. It requires us to believe. And I'll be honest with you, there's sometimes when your belief meter may not be pegging out. It may not even be hardly moving. It may just be twitching a little bit because you just, and God comes through and then it's like, because he trains us and he loves us and he wants us to live by faith and he wants us to walk by faith. And he's so very merciful. I read a story of a young man that was at church on a Wednesday night. And his pastor had taught on hearing God's voice. And he and some of his buddies went out afterwards. They were out at one of the cafes, the restaurants. And they were talking about the message. And some of them were telling stories about how they'd heard God speak. And the young man had never really heard God speak to him. And so he got stirred up about it. Like, my goodness, you mean you can hear God talk this way? And so on the way home, he just said, Lord, my friends, they gave examples of when you spoke to them. And I believe you do this. And if you want to say something to me tonight, I'm listening. Just help me know. And some of his buddies had talked about the way they'd been able to discern God's voice. And just out of nowhere, he had, the story goes, that he just had a desire to come into his mind to stop and buy a gallon of milk. Well, that doesn't make sense. Lord, is this you? Then he thought, you know what? He said, I'll buy a gallon of milk because if it's not the Lord, I can use the milk anyway. So he pulled over and he bought a gallon of milk and he's riding down the road. And he went by this street. It said 7th Street. And he went by and it's like, I'm supposed to turn there. And he thought, nah, I don't know. And he kept driving and he couldn't get his mind off of 7th Street. So he said, well, I'm going to try it. And he went back and he turned down 7th Street. He's driving down. He drove a little while. And it's like, he thought the Lord said, you need to pull over right here. Lord, is that you? He pulled over and he sat there in his car. And he looked at the house. And when he looked at the house, it's like, you're supposed to go and carry that milk to that house. I thought, this is crazy. And he looked and he said, there weren't any businesses. It was just a neighborhood and most of the lights were off in the houses. And he thought, this is just foolish. But he couldn't get, it just kept coming. So he got his gallon of milk, walked up the sidewalk, and there wasn't even a porch light on. He knocked on the door. In a minute, he heard somebody coming, and the door opened, and there was a, 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 a Spanish man, had a t-shirt on, like, who are you? What do you need? And the guy, and the young man said, he just held the milk jug and said, I brought you some milk. Said the guy grabbed the milk and just ran down the hallway and met his wife. And his wife started crying, and his wife and the man came back to the young man on the porch. And he's standing there like, and they said, you won't believe this. Said, my wife and I were just back in our bedroom. We've had extra expenses this month. We ran out of money, and we've got a little one, and we didn't have money to even buy milk. And my wife just prayed, Lord, if you have to, send an angel with some milk for us. Knock on the door. And that young man went back to his car. His faith level was way up here. God does stuff like this with just ordinary people like you and like me. He'll talk to you. He'll speak to you. And if things aren't going the way you want them to go, please take this scripture tonight. Just begin to declare it. So, you wait. Wait silently on God alone. My expectation is from Him. Just begin to declare it over your life. My expectation is from the Lord. I may be battling being down and out. It looks dark. I don't see my way forward. But that doesn't matter. I'm just going to wait on God, and He's going to be faithful to me. He's going to open the door. He's going to shine the light. He's going to show me what to do. I'm not helpless. He's with me. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. There's a lot of things I don't know, and I don't know what I may need to know in this situation, but what I do know is going to help me. I know my expectations from the Lord. And Lord, I don't know how you could do this or how you might do this or when you're going to do this or how you're going to do it, but I'm expecting from you because you're a good God. And you said, ask and it'll be given. You said, seek and I'll find. You said, knock and it'll be open. So here I am, Lord. I'll do whatever you tell me to do. I just know you're going to be faithful. I'm expecting you to come through for me. And you know what? He is not a man that he should lie. Now the temptation's going to be to murmur and complain and become frustrated and magnify the problem and declare the problem. But I just wanted to drop by and remind you tonight, plead the promise, not the problem. Declare the word of the Lord out your mouth. Believe it in your heart. And you'll find the answer showing up right in front of you, delivered in a vehicle called expectation. The door will open, and your God will supply your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Would you stand with me tonight? Lord, I want to thank you tonight for your faithfulness. And on behalf of every person in the room right now, Lord, we acknowledge there's been times you've been speaking and we haven't been listening because we've been running our mouth. There's been times, Lord, when we should have been waiting, when we were rushing ahead. There's times, Lord, when we were waiting, but we were waiting wrongly. We weren't waiting on you to move. We were waiting on something else or someone else. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for being hesitant when we should have been obedient. Forgive us for not waiting when we should have been waiting. Forgive us, Lord, for times when we've expected from others what we should have expected only from you. Forgive us when we place false expectations on other people. Lord, forgive us for unhealthy responses to things we're going through. Just cleanse us with your blood, O King. And tonight, anew and afresh, fill us with your Holy Spirit. May our hearts be filled with expectation tonight. Lord, forgive us for our lack of faith. Forgive us for forgetting about the mustard seeds that we could have been sowing, but we weren't because we've been overwhelmed. Lord, forgive us for settling for lesser things because our expectation wasn't big enough, it wasn't large enough, because we weren't putting our eyes on you. Lord, thank you that you're big enough, strong enough, powerful enough to bring this great nation of ours into the greatest revival we've ever seen or heard of. Thank you, there's no heart so hard that the fire of the Holy Spirit can't melt it and break through. Thank you, Father God, there's no circumstance that's so bleak, so dark, so deep that you can't bring us through it. No hole so deep you can't deliver us out of it. Thank you, Father, tonight. There's no situation before us, before anyone in this room, that you can't part like you did the Red Sea and bring deliverance. All things are possible to him who believes. Amen. With you, O God, with God, with you, our God, all things are possible. So I declare it. You declare it with me. We declare it. My expectations from the Lord. My expectations from the Lord. My expectations from you, O Lord. Begin to say it. My expectation is from you, O Lord. Put that over your circumstance. Brand it on your heart. Speak it out your lips. We declare together tonight, our expectation is from you, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight. Now, if there are any of you here that need prayer, there's a few of us. I'll ask some of our altar workers, if you'd come, some of our leaders, just come and be here. If you have need of prayer tonight, they'll put some music on back there. We'll be glad to pray with you as long as we need to. Thank you for being here tonight. May God bless you, and may you leave here tonight with some expectation in your heart for God to do for you what needs to be done in your life. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen.